Can you hear me? Kind of, maybe.
Make sure you hold it up to your mouth.
Hold it up to my mouth. It gets caught in the whiskers. Okay, Jacob, be quiet. Pay attention. Eyes up here. Okay. So actually, me and Jacob were talking before this, and he's talking about how God uses people to bring different messages and all that. Sometimes I'm not for sure why he's doing this to me. Some people get to, you know, give you guys the sweet messages, sunshines, rainbows, the good stuff. I think he wants me to beat you guys up a little bit each time. I don't mean to. I'm sorry. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't from God, if it wasn't biblical and it wasn't true. So I wish there was more of you here. As this goes for, I think, just about all of us, even adults, kids down the road. But what I felt led to talk about were conflicts within the body. Do you guys know who the body is by chance? Huh? Yeah, us. We're the youth body. Then we got, you know, we're entangled with everybody. But something that I've been seeing is when God uses people, he allows us to, you know, gain knowledge through everyday activities. And with me being a father of four, I'm around a lot of you people, a lot that's not here. So I see things, I hear things, things I don't want to see, things I don't want to hear. And then things weigh on me, and I pray about it, read about it, and here we go. So something I've been seeing among the church, a lot within the younger people, and not just here. This doesn't, like I said, doesn't just pertain to us right here. It's all over the place. It's a division because of conflicts and an unwillingness to let things go. You guys are holding on to grudges. Question you need to ponder on: for what reasons? Why? We may need God to reveal something to us. So, like I said, God has put it on my heart and mind to speak on this, not to beat you guys up, but to possibly open your hearts and your minds so that we can move in the direction that God wants us to move, to be in the places that God wants us to be and do the things that God wants us to do. So, and by harboring grudges, unforgiveness, even hate in our lives, we're placing ourselves into unnecessary storms, trials, and things like that. We're holding ourselves, you know, we want to move forward and go on, and we can't figure out why, but if you're holding something against somebody else, it's kind of a revolving door. You come up here, you want prayer, you know, to over a certain situation, but then you won't let this go. You just keep it going around. So, and I've seen a lot of, I've actually seen some of you people in this building, and a lot of people outside. Like I said, I pay attention to a lot of things. Being ugly to others. Sometimes you guys are ugly to each other because maybe how they respond to you or have acted, you know. And something you guys have heard us say, you don't always know what somebody's going through and what they're dealing with, but on that same hand, even if us and y'all are going through something, no matter if it's big or small, maybe big to you, it does not give us the right to act towards, you know, people in certain ways and act poorly to people. Instead, we should be confiding in each other. We need to be praying for each other. We need to be lifting each other up. So something that I've seen and I find it fitting for this or whatever. So, like Tracy and a lot of some of yous are playing softball, basketball, sports right now. And you guys are in ball camps. And I'm sure you guys probably play with people that you don't necessarily get along with, right? Any of you guys play with people you don't get along with, Tracy? Yeah, I know you guys do. I hear things. But what do you guys do when you're at practice and when you're at the games? You guys work together as a team to try to win the game, even if you're, you know, on the outside not really getting along with each other. You got to love everybody. You don't have to like them, you know, but we don't need to be, you know, certain ways to each other. Same thing applies right here. If we can do that on the ball field or on a ball court or anywhere else, why can we not do it for the body of Christ? So we're going to do some reading here. We'll just do it on my phone faster. Anyways, we're going to be, if anybody wants to follow along, we'll be in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. So, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31 says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews, Gentiles, slave, or free, we are all given the Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the bodies that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And these parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And these parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While other presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. You guys hear that? No division in the body. But that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts, healing, helping, guidance, and different kinds of tongues. All are apostles, or are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healings, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. So, did you guys understand that, what they're talking about, and why he was, or what he was telling them? So what do we need for each other? Like, Who does? Love, right? God's love. Without God's love, we're not going to love. We need true love for one another, care and compassion. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I again am nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away my childhood behind me. For now we only see a reflection in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And guess what, guys? Love is the greatest of these. It says it right there in your Bible. Read it. So, and like it said, as one body, when one part of us is affected, we're all affected. If you have care and compassion, you're going to be affected when something's going on with you in your situations, or with Jace right there. I don't know what's going on, but I'm concerned. But you know, I get, you know, I talk to people daily at work and things, you know, and they tell me things that are going on or and things, you know, with family members. I don't know these people or anything. And then whenever they tell me, you know, I feel it, you know, because I truly care about these people that I don't even know. And that's because of the love of God. So, and if you're having trouble feeling that love, that care and compassion, we need to go back to the start with God. Who can tell me what John 3:16 says? Somebody say it. That is correct. You want to know why? Because he loves us. God came down in flesh, his son, died for us because he loves us. We cannot achieve the perfection that we need to inherit the kingdom of heaven. So he made a way through Jesus. So why did Jesus die on the cross? To pay the debt that we couldn't pay, so we may be forgiven. So that tells me that with the conflicts going on between us, we should start with forgiveness for any wrongdoing that we have done to others and others unto us. We need to squash it. Whatever it is, whatever problems we're having, whether it be between any of you guys, somebody else, family member, whoever it may be, we need to squash it. Get rid of it. We may not even know that we have offended people. Have you guys ever been in that situation? I have. I used to be terrible about that. Now I really watch my P's and Q's. You know, because I've had people come up to me, you know, months after, you know, last time I seen them, and, you know, tell me that I hurt their feelings, and I didn't know, you know. And I, what do? You don't get mad and be like, oh, you're, you know, whatever. No. You apologize to them, you know, and ask them for that forgiveness. because I don't want nobody holding grudges against me and unforgiveness against me over something, even if it was silly that I'd done. So whenever that may happen, you know, we need to, and if somebody, like I was saying, if somebody, you know, talks to you about maybe something you have done and that you've hurt them in some kind of way, and even if you don't realize it, instead of reacting, think on it and respond to the, you know, to somebody, you know, apologize to them. Let's get it behind us, you know, because you don't want that unforgiveness on your heart, on your mind. They don't need it either. So in Matthew 6:14-15, Jesus says, "For if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive them, then you will not be forgiven." You know, I know sometimes it's, you know, I know when I was younger, you know, it seemed super hard to forgive somebody, even over the dumbest things. You know, and what was actually ridiculous on my part is I could forgive somebody like that wronged me big time. And then something minor, I would hold that grudge, kind of be bitter towards that person. It made no sense. Made no sense to me. But whenever it feels hard to, you know, let that grudge go or to forgive somebody, what do you guys need to be doing? Anybody know? Right, take it to God. Take it to God, you know, let him help, you know, renew your mind, you know. As if we're truly seeking God and we'll let him, you know, transform us, you know. Let the Holy Spirit take up residence in our minds, not the junk of the world that's around us. I have to do that every day. I get off in La La Land, it's like, no, Lord, this is yours, you know. But whenever we let the Holy Spirit, you know, take up that residence in our mind, the old things will start to fall away. But it's a daily pursuit, you know, day by day, minute by minute pursuit of God. But those old things, they'll fall away, and you need to let your heart and soul be filled with love, mercy, grace, and the joy of God, and then the joy of God will flow through you no matter what's going on. I go through some crud, guys. I deal with some not-so-nice people, and I'm not always happy, but I'm very joyful with them, and sometimes I think that upsets them. But whenever you have that true love of God in your life, and then you can bestow that, you know, onto others, and then you have the joy of God flowing through your life, no matter what's going on, you're not going to be bothered by a lot of little things anymore. But taking that to God, you know, and it's something you guys need to, you know, talk to him daily on if you are having issues with grudges, forgiveness, or, you know, just anything like that. Like I said, whether it be between, you know, somebody in this room or, you know, family or whoever it may be. You know, like I said, we need to get it squashed. That way you can get to a point where you need to be in your walk with Christ. That way you don't have that, you know. There's a lot of people that I know and I've talked to over, you know, even just recently, I see them in, you know, not necessarily in this church, but people I know that go to other churches and this and that, and they talk to me, you know, about, you know, they just can't let things go. You know, things that happened 20, 30 years ago, they just can't let little things go. And, you know, and all I know to do is pray for them. Because, you know, that's something you guys got to deal with you and God. It's not something I can fix. It's not something Miss Chelsea can fix or anything like that. Well, that about wraps up what I got. That went a little quicker than I thought. But Just let you guys know. Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, you're fine. But I figure she's going to do an altar call or whatever. But if you're dealing with that, yeah. But if you guys are dealing with any grudges, unforgiveness, or any bitterness in your lives, we need to pray about it. And then something else, which Jamie, I think, is the only other adult in here, something that's been really weighing on me is, and you guys are pretty good about going to altar call anyway, but even if what we've discussed isn't what's affecting you, I'm sure there's something going on in your life that you guys need to be up here about. I know I do. What's wrong, Missy? But here you go.
Thank you, Zach. So while there at the end where he was talking about forgiveness, you know, I don't think that people really understand what holding that anger and bitterness inside yourself does to you. Because I think we get this false impression that because we are angry and we feel this way about a certain person or a situation, that we're affecting them in some way. But in reality, that person could have no idea. And so what's happening is, it's like the longer that we hold that anger and bitterness and unforgiveness in, it's like we're just working on building a wall between us and God. And until we tear down those bricks and get all of that out, you may find yourself where I found myself, was I found myself in a place of, I just felt stuck. Like, I couldn't go anywhere besides where I was with the Lord. I don't know if I've told this story. I think I have. I've talked about it, I'm sure. But like, I held a lot of bitterness against my dad growing up. Hills he decided to die on affected me more than him in some cases. And, you know, because my soccer coach wouldn't play me, he refused to come to my games. Like, that's not accomplishing anything. He went back to school when I was in school. We graduated with our associate's degrees at the same time. So for that last 2 years of high school, like, he was gone from 7 to 7 every day and then would work a 12-hour shift on the weekend. And he would work, it was a night shift, so he had to sleep. He was like an angry bear if you woke him before he was supposed to be awake. And so that time just really drove a wedge between us. And I didn't really realize how angry I was and how bitter I was until I got married. And it was affecting my relationship with my husband. Because those emotions I felt towards my dad, I was putting those on Joe. And that's where it was coming out. And so I actually went through a process. Everybody remember Brother Dorsey that comes, he does this thing called emotional healing. I know he's talked about it. So Joe and I both went through it because Joe has mom stuff, and he's adopted, if you didn't know that. So I didn't realize that I'd never forgiven. Like, I had said I forgave my dad, but I had never said it out loud. And I wrote him a letter. That was because I can't. Super emotional instances like that, I can't get the words out. Like, I just cry because I'm a very emotional person. And so you just don't realize until years down the road, like, how holding that in actually will affect you. And Zach's right. We need to be the body. The body can't be the body without the leg that can't do the same things, right? Without the nose, the mouth, the ears, the eyes, we can't do the same things. And, you know, as you guys get older, as an adult, you're going to be put in situations where you have to work and be alongside people that are not your favorite. Listen, probably all of you are going to get married someday. It's like a 50-50 chance with in-laws these days, okay? You may not. Who knows? But we have being able to love anyway. That's spiritual maturity. And we don't get to that place of spiritual maturity when we allow bitterness and anger and all unforgiveness and all these things to come between us and our relationship with the Lord. So stand with me tonight, guys. If you're in this place and you would say, Pastor Chelsea, there are some people in my life I need to forgive. Because maybe that's the thing that's been in the way of my relationship with the Lord. Maybe that's the thing that has made me feel like I'm not going anywhere with Him. That I can't feel Him, that I haven't heard Him, because I've let a wall be built between us. So if you're in this place tonight and you would say, yes, there are some people I need to forgive. And maybe that person is you. That there are some things that you have done and you've asked God for forgiveness, but you ain't let yourself off the hook yet. You haven't forgiven yourself. That's a thing that we do. So if you're in this place and you would say, I need to forgive myself because I know God forgives me. I know He does because I asked. But I just haven't found it in myself yet to forgive me. And if you're in this place and you're just dealing with some things tonight, I know that there are some heavy situations represented here tonight. And we're going to pray. So if you're in this place and any of those things apply to you, then I want you to come up to the front so that we can pray together, that we can be here for each other. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? You need to be up here. Thank you, Jesus. Leaders, if you would come and pray. Students, if you want to come and pray with those that are up here, if you stay in your seat, just be respectful and be quiet. Thank you.